Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
And I assume this is audible, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd also like to add my thanks to Suzanne and Gina for organizing this event. Mm-hmm. We're filled with such disparate people, and that's the most polite word I can think of. You know, my education in literature and the arts didn't really begin. It was, let's say, it was situationally delayed until I was 19 and enrolled at UC for the fall semester as a transfer from Pasadena Junior College in 1939. At the time, I considered myself to be a poet and so presented myself very much to the amusement of some of my classmates, particularly Pauline Kael, who quickly informed me that I was much too normal to be a poet. But it was through Pauline that I first heard of Kenneth Rexroth and a man named Robert Sims, better known as Robert Duncan. Another classmate, Tom Parkinson, who was a native San Franciscan and much more familiar with people and places in the Bay Area than I was, asked me if I wanted to accompany him on a visit to Kenneth's over in Potrero Hill. And I said, of course I would. And so on one Friday evening in October, I found myself a lot of apprehension, standing on Potrero Hill at the foot of a long stairway on Wisconsin Street leading up to Kenneth's house. And it seemed to me that those stairs stretched up and up and up, perhaps into another world, and in many ways they did. Whether I recognized it or not, my education had begun. Parallel to the Rexroth world, Pauline also directed me toward a poet whose work she very much admired, Robert Duncan. Now, Robert's poem, An African Elegy, circulated among us in mimeograph form, and it flooded my awareness of the musical, the metaphoric, and sensual possibilities of poetic form. An exploration of the political and the heterosexual, and this is a gross simplification, exploration of the political and the heterosexual gathered around the Rexroth pole, while an equally intense exploration of the theosophical, mythic, and homosexual flourished around the Duncan circle. Now, any aspirations I might have had to live in both worlds perished in the practice. It was at Rexroth that I first encountered, and by encountered I simply meant listening to Kenneth and doing some reading of my own, first encountered Lao Tzu, Marx, Engels, Lenin, Trotsky, Buchanan, Kropotkin, Hermes Trismegistus, Wyndham Lewis, D.H. Lawrence, Herbert Reed, Emma Goldman, Martin Buber, The Secret of the Golden Flower, The Kama Sutra, and Wilhelm Reich, and the Orgone Box. And that was just for starters. In the year before the U.S. entry into World War II, anarchism was a philosophy along with nonviolent resistance to the state, and it became a kind of shared philosophy among the informal arts community in the Bay Area, the community primarily of writers and painters. Rexroth, of course, and Duncan were the leading exemplars of this philosophy, and there were those who paid a heavy debt for it. I'm thinking of Frank Trieste and also John Hartman, who spent 3 years in McNeil Island as COs and emerged fundamentally changed. There were also others, Bill Everson, for one, who was at a camp in Walport, and then also, you may know Bill better as Brother Antoninus, I don't know, and Lewis Hill, who was the founder of Pacifica Foundation. He was at Colville. Anyway, pacifism and non-cooperation became the order of the day. And at the close of 1940, I was expelled from the University of California as a result of paying more attention to anti-war activities than to my academic assignments. So overnight, I found myself isolated. One day, I had many friends as a leader of the Yanks Are Not Coming protest at Sather Gate. And the wonderful competition.
Yeah.
It fits. But with Hitler's invasion of the Soviet Union, my fellow protesters became gung-ho warriors overnight, and I became a solitary pacifist. At the war's end, there was an extraordinary explosion of optimism. Everything seemed possible. even peace. We set out to build new communities within the shell of the old, to borrow an old wobbly term. Eleanor McKinney and I left San Francisco, Kenneth and the Libertarian Circle, and moved to Duncan's Mills in Sonoma County to start our own commune. Hamilton and Mary Tyler sheltered the likes of Duncan, Everson, Eleanor, and myself at Pond Farm, at Guerneville, and later at Trees Bank above Occidental. Well, what did we have in common? Well, a few things. Among them, a determination to establish a West Coast culture to rival the New York East Coast establishment. And two, a belief that a West Coast culture grew out of the natural landscape, the Pacific, the Sierras, the deserts, and the valleys of the West. And three, that solitude and meditation are to be valued above academic pretension and rivalries. And finally, that mutual aid and the peaceful resolution of disputes became the foundation for, it could become the foundation for a new society. That subsequently we were to witness the collapse of these utopias, great and small, in no way diminishes the relevance of the belief that emerged and flourished in the 1940s and early 50s here and across the bay. Now, once awakened by this supreme fiction machine of memory, all of this seems strangely unreal. And further, it was OMG, I'm sure you recognize those letters from texting, OMG, as they say today, more than 65 years ago. Well, what are we to make of those moments in history, the history particularly of the arts and politics, that critics and historians have deemed important? Well, my first response is that for the writer, the dancer, the composer, the soloist, the painter, the sculptor, whatever the form, that question is irrelevant, if for no other reason than that the fact that the work precedes any judgment or historical pigeonholing. So I find myself today active in the practice of poetry, and in many ways more active than in previous decades. This is why labels frequently make no sense. I am more interested in what's becoming, happening now, as opposed to what did or did not happen sometime in the past. And so I kind of look forward to our conversation of meeting all these different people in this living room, which is not unrelated to the conversations that would take place in, say, in Kenneth's kitchen and elsewhere in that house on Wisconsin Street. And here's where things get really absurd. That was 72 years ago. Mm-hmm.